Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do. I love you, I love you, Lord, today. Oh, because such a special way that's why I lift you up. Magnify. Anybody love the Lord today? Lift your voices and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, Lord. In such a special way, special way, that's why I praise, I lift you up, magnify your holy name, that's why. I want Anita Jones, the mother of Mia, and if there are any other family members who'd like to come and be with her as we pray, to come now. But while they're coming, if there are any other persons who either desire prayer or want to stand in the gap for someone, I want you to make it a little closer to the altar today. Believe in prayer. The Bible says, the effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. Believers, when they pray, believe God's going to do what they say. Believers, when they pray, believe that they have their petition even before they request it from God. Believers, when they pray according to the word, which is the will of God and the way that God calls us to pray. You see, there are some of you who are going to make some decisions about the rest of your life. Isn't it good to know that on this day of new beginnings, this day of doing it differently, this day of making a change, this day of making a choice to let Jesus be Lord of your life is the beginning of the best that is yet to come in your life. Isn't it good to know that you don't have to wait till the battle is over to shout? Isn't it good to know that you don't have to wait till you hear from someone else to know that it is well? Isn't it good to know as a believer that you can speak those things that be not as though they were? Isn't it good to know as a believer that you have the victory according to the word? Isn't it about your feelings? It's about your faith. I said it's not about your feelings, it's about your faith. Because all of us don't always feel good, and all of us don't always feel like we're on top. But whether I feel like I'm on top or not, God says I am on top. He says I'm more than a conqueror. He says I'm blessed. He says I'm his child. And because he said it, not because I, but he, I echo what he says. And he knows me better than I know myself. He knows you better than you know yourself. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we say thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Just being the God that you are, who looks beyond our faults and meets every one of our needs. Now, Lord, as you look around this altar, you know that there are some persons whose hearts are hurting now. Some persons who are in desperate need of your touch, desperate need of your fellowship, of your guidance, of your comfort, of your healing, of your delivering ability. That there are some persons around this altar and in this place and over in the overflow, God, who need you so much that even if as they articulate in their prayers, God, the tears flow out of their eyes. Not tears of hopelessness. Believing, God, that while they're going through their storm and through their struggle and through their setback, God, that you've got this thing fixed. But because we're human, you said that we ought to weep with those that weep and then rejoice with those that rejoice. And God, there are some weeping around the altar, but then there are others rejoicing around the altar. And so, God, we do those things because we recognize that in this earth realm, we've got to deal with the flesh. But by the authority of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost, we take authority over the flesh. And we cause this flesh to line up and to be what you said it should be. And God, we thank you today that we are overcoming victors in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you said that we have what you say we have. And as we believe what you say, you bring it to pass. Oh God, we just rejoice right now that while we're in the valley, we can see the mountaintop. We thank you that while some are in sickness, we can see the healing. While some are held captive and bound by sin, Satan, and trouble and situations, and we see deliverance right now. God, we thank you that while some don't know how they're going to pay their rent and all their money is spent, we thank you that we're going to see prosperity in them. We thank you, Father, for some family that's struggling right now to stay together. God, we thank you that you're going to unify them by your love and your power. We thank you, Father, for someone making a decision concerning their next step and concerning the next level in their lives, that you're going to lead them and guide them in the way of success. We thank you that right now in this church, now the old children, your saints, who need you in a special way. Lord, look on Mia now, who's going to be leaving for Korea tomorrow. Bless her, touch her. You said in your word, if she keep her mind on you, you'll keep her in perfect peace. God, we thank you that you're no shorter than your word. Bless her family, her mother, her relatives, and all of those who love her. Keep them in peace, your perfect peace. Comfort them by your spirit, God. And then, Father, all of the other men and women who have already gone on and who are serving our country and defending our rights, look on them afresh. God, many of them are over there, and yet they're still connected over here. And Lord, we cover them in our prayers, and we cover them in our love, and we cover them in our support, and encourage them now. God, we have no idea what they're going through like they know. But God, you promised you'd never leave us, nor would you ever forsake us. And so over there, we know you're right there with them, just like you're over here, right here with us. For that, we say thank you. Lord God, touch every person in this audience today, God. Every man, every woman, every girl, every boy. And Lord, as we lift them up before you, we lift their problems up before you. Lord, as they go up as problems, they come down as praise reports. We know you're able. We know you're able. As we lift up sickness before you, we know it comes down healing. We know you're able. We're standing in the gap, God, saying, have your way. But according to your word and according to your will, we're standing on your word, God. Have thine own way. We believe that you're faithful. You do just what you said. And Father, we're not afraid of death because Jesus conquered death. And we're not afraid because our elder brother went into the hell holes of death and pulled back the life of those who had died. So we know he could change the situation and the condition. So God, we lift up your people to you today. And thank you for what you're going to do for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We count it done already. Not according to our feelings, but according to our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Give him glory in the house today. Have your Bibles, would you stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord and turn them to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're continuing our message series entitled Home Sweet Home. And we're talking about husbands and wives knowing their parts and their roles and their place. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. There are so many things that we have covered this day concerning the role and responsibility of the husband and the wife in the home, and understanding those roles and responsibilities make for a home that is sweet, a home that is pleasant, and a home that is profitable. One of the things that you're going to understand is that because of roles, we have rules that govern each role. And when the roles are adhered to by the rules, then we have a right to expect the expectation of the reward. It's important to understand that God has set up his structure and his standard concerning the home. How even as we go back to Genesis and find out how God again created man, and in that same creation he gave him dominion, and then he saw one day that man had become lonely and it was not good for him to be alone, and the text said that he then called man to duty, to name all of the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And when he finished his task, he put man to sleep, and from his rib he created woman. And then, as we look at the record, we understand how God gave him a command, even before the woman was created, not to eat of the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. And so when he then had that command, when it was just him, had now been given what God deemed a help meet. And the wife was called a help meet because joining her to the rib of Adam involved and infused her in the work that God had given to the man. It was her role and responsibility to be the support system, to be the one who would energize him, to keep him focused, to be also the other help to make production and reproduction that of that that pleased God. And her role was a very clear role, and so was Adam's role. But somehow the enemy deceived her. And he told her that if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye will not surely die. And she said that the serpent beguiled her, and Adam said, the woman you gave me messed me up. And God said, no, the problem is you have both misunderstood and misrepresented your roles. Both of them had a relationship with God who had given them dominion over everything on the earth, and because they were not focused on their roles and their responsibilities, sin entered in. Now, as we look at this, because I want you to understand some things, if there are no clearly defined roles, then in every home there will be chaos. If there are no real understandings of responsibility connected with those roles, mean if you don't do the roles that you know to do, then conflict enters in. And then if you don't do again what you know to do as the role that has been defined by God, then you cannot receive a reward. And if you do not receive the reward, then on the other hand, you suffer the consequences. So you have chaos, conflict, and consequences when you don't know and or do your role. Let's look at the word, because I want us to see some things. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, I'm not going there now, through verse 33. I want you to read that in conjunction with our text today when you get a chance at home to better understand the roles. But Peter picks up where Paul leaves off. And he says similarly some of the things that Paul says concerning roles and responsibilities and rewards of marriage. First of all, I want to just bring out the husband's role and then the wife's role. First, the husband's role is that of position. And the first position that God gives him is a position of humility, because he makes the man the head. And because he makes him the head, he gives him responsibility connected with accountability. For the word says, to whom much is given, much is required. The second thing that he expects is a position of honesty, because there are some things that the Lord tells the head that the head is then to distribute to the rest of the body. And he must be clear and honest about what he has received from the Lord, because God does not violate his structure. He works and he operates in a structured situation the same way every time. The way that you have confusion is if God would tell the head one thing, the foot another thing, the eyes another, and the ears another, and you'd have mass confusion in one body. So what he does is he tells the head and then instructs him to distribute it to the rest of the body. So the head must be honest. And the last thing I need to tell you is that the head must have a position of honor, because God made again him head and gave to him that honor the same way as the man is the head of the the wife, Christ is the head of man and God is the head of Christ. There is a structure of honor that God has put in place, and there should not be a problem with the women honoring the men when the men function as God has deemed and called them to. But let's look at the wife's role and see what hers is. Hers, instead of understanding and the clearer interpretation of the text, it really, that word weaker could very well be translated as precious. She is the precious vessel. She is like the fine china versus the glass. She is something that is delicate and intricate, and she has to be protected and provided for and cared for in a sensitive manner because of her sensitive nature. She's weaker not just in the physical sense as needing one to provide protection for her, but weaker or precious in the sense that God has made her to be protected and provided and cared for. And then secondly, her role is a willing vessel, because God has created her role to be a supporting cast. She could never ever win the main performance because that's not her role. The best she can ever be is best supporting actress. And when she understands her role, her greatest desire in life is to get the supporting, best supporting actress award next to her husband, who has the main role. Y'all gonna get this when y'all wake up. And then lastly, she has a worthy vessel role. Worthy because she submits to her husband. Worthy because she is a helpmeet, a willing helper of the vision that God has given to her husband. And worthy because she reverences her husband the way God intended for her to do. She becomes worthy and thus receives the honor from her husband that validates her as she completes him. Yeah. Then let's walk through the text and see again. Verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now look at what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, listen, if you happen to have married a heathen or a man who has stepped outside of the will of God or the word of God, or one who is not what God has called him to be, you are still under warrant and you are obligated to be the godly woman God has called you to be. Now Peter is saying, if he isn't acting right, as the young folks say, if he ain't got no act right, it doesn't release you to act foolish also. But by your conversation and your behavior, let him see the God in you, so much so that he cannot misrepresent the fact that there is a God somewhere and he sees him represented in his better half. Listen to what verse 2 says. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. He begins to know that you're not acting like you're acting because you're scared of him, but you're acting like you're acting because you know what God is going to do in the situation. Your fear is a fear of reverential fear for God, knowing that God is holding you obligated to your role, and if you do your role, God would do his part. But even if that mate doesn't do his part, you still are under warrant to do your part. That's one of the reasons why saints must be so careful about who they marry, because God doesn't concerning his word or his will or his word. You marry a fool, you still got to submit to him. Because truth of the matter is, you knew he was a fool before you married him. And so because you knew that before you married him, thinking God was going to change him after you married him, you did something he told you not to do, and that's to be unequally yoked. So you can't go to God and say, God, I'm married to this fool, and I know you don't want me to submit to him. God said, no, I said to submit to your own husband. Oh, by the way, is he a fool? Because if he is, that's your own. It's in the text. Listen at this. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. He's saying if you really want to be a wonderful a demonstration of God's love and his meekness and his spirit. Don't dress up and play the role in an outward appearance of a woman who looks godly. Or who looks beautiful, or who dresses the part on the outside and the inside is not reflective of the God she claims she represents. Don't you know anybody can go downtown and buy church clothes? You can be the 100th woman and still look like the first lady. On the outside, but if your spirit is not one that pleases God, then what you dress up on Sunday mornings won't help you the rest of the week if your spirit does not agree with the reality of the role God has called you to play. If y'all get quiet now, I'm gonna think y'all got a problem. Listen at the word. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Literally, Peter is saying, listen, let your inner man be so wonderfully demonstrated that your husband will see that you have such a meek and a quiet spirit. Do you know when you shut your mouth sometime? When you lock your lips sometime? Listen, just because you're right don't always mean you ought to say what's on your mind. Sometimes the best way to break somebody down is to shut up. Because it takes two to argue. It takes two to fight. It takes two to tangle. Sometimes when you know you're right, just shut up and let God fight you. Battle! Nah, but we got that mentality. I'm going to speak my piece. I'm going to say what's on my mind. What comes up comes out. Next thing you know, because you're married to a fool, you got a black eye. He done all upside your head. He done knocked you out. You got your people coming to your house to take it because you couldn't keep your mouth closed. You know what you were married to in the first place. Lord, if y'all get quiet, I'm going to know I got a problem in the house. Listen to that. Listen to that, this man. The Bible says, in the end of verse 4, again, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. If it's in the sight of God, a great price, don't you know God can change the heart and the mind of that man? If you please God in the functioning of your role, look at verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in who? God. Not trusting in your husband, you're trusting in God to take care and to deal righteously in your relationship. Because you need to understand that the trust must be in God in order for you to do the right thing by your husband. See, if you don't trust God, you're not going to do the right thing by your husband. So listen at this. Verse says again, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. I got to keep emphasizing on, that's your husband. That's your husband. And you got to realize he's your husband, and you need to keep your business out of your people's business, out of your friend's business, out of the beauty parlor, out of the market, out of the work. Your business is between you and your husband. See, that's how some of you get messed up right now, because you take advice from other women about your own. Can't another woman ought to be able to tell you nothing about your own? Y'all not hearing me here. Because when you open the door to let the devil in, don't you think he just want to stop with coming in? He wants to come in and destroy and get you out of the place God made for you. Listen to this. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Oh, I know I'm going to have to take a minute and deal with this one. Whose, listen at this, daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now look at this word now. When you begin to understand who you are and whose you are and your role and your responsibility and the rewards that come connected with you doing your part, you will not have a problem with submitting and being obedient to your own husband, because you're doing it, if you go back into Ephesians chapter 5, as unto the Lord. And so when you understand that God, if you are equally joined as God would have you to, which is your responsibility to do that, seek God and be joined with who he has